Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the coming Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Grief comes before joy in today's story and in so much of our life. So our reading today tells the story of Christmas, but it's not the story we know and love. There is no census demanding a young couple travel to Bethlehem. No stable because the inn was too full, no shepherds keeping their flocks by night, no heavenly hosts singing glory to God in the highest. No, that's all from the gospel according to St. Luke, the gospel story we read on Christmas Eve. This is Matthew's version. It's short, though not all that sweet, telling the Christmas story entirely from the point of view of Joseph, not Mary. And the story Matthew tells is one of surprise, disappointment and grief, at least at first. Joseph and Mary, you see, were engaged when it becomes apparent that Mary is already pregnant and not by Joseph. And so he plans on breaking off their engagement. Although actually, engagement doesn't really cut it as a translation. Breaking off an engagement is painful, but usually no lawyers are involved. In first century Jewish custom, you see, there were two steps involved in a typical marriage. The first is here what is translated as engagement, but has been translated in other versions of the Bible as betrothed, espoused, or pledged to marry. It essentially means the establishment of a marriage contract, usually arranged by the parents, and it is a legal arrangement broken only by divorce. Stage two is the celebration of a marriage feast, held up to a year later, after which the couple then moves in with each other and begins their formal and married life together. Joseph and Mary are in between these two stages in our story. They have been contractually bound to each other, but may or may not even know each other all that well. They haven't yet lived together and definitely have not had the opportunity to conceive a child together. And so when Joseph discovers Mary pregnant, he is likely shocked and disappointed, perhaps angered, and without a doubt, brokenhearted. But rather than expose her to public shame and perhaps public shunning or punishment, Joseph resolves to divorce Mary quietly, pick up the broken pieces of his life, and try to move on. That all changes after a visit from the angel Gabriel, who tells Joseph that this child is from God and that he should take Mary as his wife as planned. And we will get to that part of the story in just a moment. But first, and just now, let's linger a moment longer with Joseph's grief, because it is grief that he feels. This is not what he had hoped for, not what he had dreamed of or planned for or anticipated. And it is not fair. He has done everything right, worked hard, planned for their life together. He had done his part, and everything changes with the sudden and unwelcome news of Mary's unexpected and inexplicable pregnancy. In that brief moment, Joseph loses everything he had hoped for, planned of, and dreamed about. Does that sound at all familiar? I've come to think of 2020 as the year of bitter disappointments and broken dreams. High school and college graduations without hoopla or fanfare. Weddings planned with hundreds of guests in mind, suddenly limited to just a few family members. Sports seasons cut short or eliminated. Unemployment reaching depression-era rates. Not seeing loved ones for months. Family gatherings and celebrations deferred indefinitely, dropping off a parent or a spouse at the hospital to go in alone, a funeral with only those closest to the deceased present, nursing home residents isolated from their families for months, worship, even and especially our beloved Christmas Eve worship, online rather than in person. And of course, so much of even all of that pales in comparison with the loss of nearly 300,000 lives in our own country alone, and more than 1.5 million worldwide, and still counting. So much loss, and so much grief. So much, in fact, that at times we don't even know we're grieving. It's what psychologists sometimes call ambiguous loss. Loss that doesn't make sense and has no clear beginning or end. loss that provides few answers and is as unexpected and inexplicable as it is unfair. It's the kind of loss that feels omnipresent and at the same time can be so very hard to name. And so the grief it causes sneaks up on us, surprises us, perhaps while driving and hearing a beloved Christmas carol, or when suddenly overcome by the blues while folding laundry or fixing the kitchen sink or setting up the Christmas tree. It's that feeling that, you know, on the whole, you're doing pretty well with all the challenges of the day until suddenly you're not, until suddenly you feel overwhelmed and you don't know why. Well, there are about only two things you can do in this kind of situation. The first is to name that grief. Grief isn't something to be ashamed of or denied. In fact, the more you try to do that, the more power unnamed grief has over you. We have good reason to grieve this year. This has been a year of disappointment, small and large, and so many broken dreams. Naming that grief helps to contain it, define it, pull it out of the shadows to a place where you can see it as real and difficult, but perhaps not quite so overwhelming as you once thought. The second thing we can do is to prepare for joy once again. Or if not prepare, at least be open. Be open to the possibility that life, while difficult, has not ended, that loss and grief will not have the last word, that joy and happiness and courage are not yet exhausted. These two things, grieving and being open to joy, are just what the short, though not very sweet and probably unfamiliar Christmas story are all about. Joseph grieves as he makes plans to end his engagement with Mary quietly, and then he is surprised by joy. An angel appears and greets him with the signature line of Scripture, signaling good news and revealing that hope is not yet lost. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do not be afraid to raise this son as your own. Do not be afraid of the future. Do not be afraid to make plans again and dream and hope once again. Why? Because God is with you. In fact, the name the angel commands Joseph to give his son is Jesus, which means God will save. And then the angel tells Joseph that this baby, conceived by the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, is Emmanuel, which means God with us, always. The truth be told, we don't know if Joseph was reluctant in his obedience or thrilled to be part of God's plans. All we know is that he consents. He does what the angel commands, and so he plays an important part in the greatest story ever told. All he does, that is to name his grief and then be open to joy and possibility once more. Grief comes before joy in this story and so often in our lives. But the joy and hope and possibility that comes is, in the end, more powerful than even the very real grief we name, because that joy is born of love. God's love for each of us. In fact, the whole Christmas story tells not simply just how much God loves us, but just how far God was and is willing to go to make sure that we know we are God's beloved children and believe and trust the good news that God is with us and for us always. And so one last, also short, and perhaps unfamiliar Christmas story, or perhaps you have heard it before, as it was told years ago by the consummate storyteller and radio presence Paul Harvey. It's a story of a farmer who never went to church, even on Christmas Eve, and even though his wife regularly did. On one more cold and blustery Christmas Eve, after his wife had again pleaded with him to no avail to come to church, he was reading comfortably by the fire when he heard a thudding against the windows of their house. He looked out and saw that sparrows, trying to get in and out of the cold, harsh wind, and attracted by the light and heat inside, were crashing into the windows of his house. He covered the windows, but that didn't work. So he decided to put on his coat, gloves, and hat and go outside and open the barn doors wide for the birds so they could find sanctuary there. But they wouldn't come in. He put all the lights on, but they still didn't come. He spread a trail of cracker crumbs, but they still wouldn't follow. He tried to shoo them in, but that only frightened them all the more. If only, he thought, if only I could become a sparrow just for a little while, I could lead them into the barn to safety. And then, all of a sudden, he realized what Christmas is all about. God's intention, determination, and action to do anything, even to become one of us, so that we might know just how much God loves us. The grief we are feeling right now is real, but so also the joy, because it is born from God's love. So grieve, and then be open. Give voice to your loss, and then hear God's promise to be with you. Name your fear, and then hear the angelic message of courage. Because the birth of Jesus doesn't mean that there is no more loss or grief or fear, just that these things do not, will not have the last word. And so as Gabriel said so long ago to Joseph, let me now say the same to you. Do not fear, because God is with you always. Thanks be to God, and blessed Christmas.